Just have a precious time of worship and praise, and we encourage you to come out to that. Many of you know that Carla Irby is in the hospital in Great Falls and has been diagnosed with colon cancer. I was talking with Fred yesterday, and God has really done a lot of wonderful things in Carla's physical body already, and has kept her alive, and her kidneys are improving, I heard, day by day. They're back to normal now, and so they attribute all this to prayer, and so we just need to continue to hold her up in prayer. Joel said that her spirits are really high, and she's full of faith, but we just want God just to continue to move in their lives. All right, so I can't think of anything else. It seems like I'm missing something here. Honey? My daughter flew into Belfast, Northern Ireland this morning. Yeah, she was in the wedding in England, and one thing led to another, and a friend or someone who was at cleaning up at the wedding there, her best friend got married in England, one thing led to another, and she got a ticket to Belfast, Northern Ireland, for £88, which is pretty cheap. And she's probably in service this morning with this incredible church that got birthed in Northern Ireland. Like you heard, the desert blooming like a rose. Well, God is birthed an amazing church in Northern Ireland, full of praise and worship. The songs that she led us in last Sunday night, those songs, she's in that church this morning. Can you say amen to that? God is super, super cool. And then she's going to rent a car and drive to Ballymena, Northern Ireland, where my grandfather was raised. He was a Scot, but he was raised in Ballymena, Northern Ireland. She's going to find the old farm that's in my family, and I'm spitting jealous this morning. But I'm really happy for her. So we're going to ask God to bless her. And the Parsons were babysitting the grandkids and having a great time doing that. And life is good. Amen to that. Lord, we love you this morning. We bless you in Jesus' name. We praise you and adore you. And Lord, we pray that we can give our lives in complete dedication to you. Pray that you'll bless this service, Lord, the rest of this service. Pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. That you will take, Lord, your word and your thoughts and your heart and interpret them into the lives of every person here this morning. Pray that your word will find root, good soil in our hearts, and produce 100-fold for you in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 9. I want to continue the story, what the Lord is doing through the early church. And a powerful thing takes place today. One of the most earth-shaking things that happened in Christianity took place here in Acts chapter 9. It says, Saul, who later became Paul, the apostle, Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, any Christians whatsoever, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So he received those letters evidently, and he journeyed, and he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. I don't know if you've ever watched any of these makeover shows where they take old dilapidated buildings or barns and they completely make a beautiful high-dollar facility. Or maybe you've seen some of these shows where they take a very average woman and they do a makeover on her. I know I'm getting it. Do they do, man? Okay, all right. I knew I was getting into troubled water here. And they do these makeovers, and the men and the women, I wouldn't know about this, but anyway, they completely, the whole brand new look. And or the building is just a complete, you know, masterpiece from what it was before. Well, that's what God does for us. Can you say amen to that? God takes our lives and does a classic makeover. He's in a class all his own. Don't you just love the beautiful Montana weather right now, folks? All this fresh moisture. I say, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Because, you know, God has landscaped the fields. Got to go riding with Foxy the other day, 5 miles. And man, I mean, the fields were bursting with every color imaginable. And the aroma that came from these flowers. Oh, and the night sky and the big Montana sky and the cloud shows. And how many saw the moon last night? Oh, yeah. Yeah, so the moon was as close as it's been in quite a while. And anyway, just fascinating, God's creation. But his most fascinating creation of all, his greatest masterpiece is you. The Bible says that he formed you in the womb before any of your members had been formed. He knew you. He created you beautifully, wonderfully, amazingly. You're his most spectacular creation because the Bible says you were made in the image of God. That's how special you are to him. That's how precious you are to him. You're made into the image of God. I wish I could talk and speak like Louis Giglio. Has anybody seen Louis Giglio? Isn't he amazing? If you don't know who I'm talking about, just go to GodTube.com. GodTube.com and type in Louis Giglio and how great is our God. And boy, he can go into this amazing sermon on how God created us and fashioned us and how beautiful it is. Well, sin and Satan got into the picture and pillaged and polluted what God made beautiful. And like rot and decay that happens to a home, sin and Satan got into the lives of mankind and turned what was beautiful into bitterness. And he turned a heart of love into hate. And those seeds come to fruition. And they kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what happened. And that's happened to many of our lives in the past. But that's what happened to Paul. When we find Paul, we find, when you study his background, he was raging in a very religious sect called the Pharisees. Paul was one of the strictest sects keeping the standards of the Old Testament. If you ever read the book, None of These Diseases, you know, these Old Testament laws are tremendous. They're wonderful. They're absolutely fantastic. And they all have meaning and value. And so Paul was raised in that. And the Bible says later when he was reflecting on his life, he looked back on his life as a Pharisee and he said, you know what? I was blameless. I was a perfect Pharisee. That's a high calling to be able to say that. He was perfect as a Pharisee. But it also says that he found that the more he tried to keep the standards of righteousness through the law, the more it slew him. That's what, I'm just quoting scripture to you right there. The more he tried to keep the standards of righteousness through the law, the more it slew him. He found himself sold under sin, obeying that which he did not allow and not doing that which he would. That which I hate, I do. Now then, it's no more me that does it, but sin that dwells in me. And so he says in Romans chapter 7, 24 and 25, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. You know, we all started off in life, for the most part. I never met a baby that was cynical, mean, and nasty. Have you? Don't you praise God for our baby boom here? Brianna's saying otherwise. She's shaking her head. Yeah, I think I have, you know. But for the most part, babies are just, you know, just precious, and they come fresh from God. And you look in their eyes and their spirits, and you see little angels. Right now, we've been babysitting Shyla and Micaiah and Billy, and and at 1 o'clock in the morning, and 2 o'clock in the morning, and 3 o'clock in the morning, I say, Gloria, Billy's crying. Go get him, honey. You know? For the most part, you see little angels. Every once in a while, you see a little tint of a devil in there. A little tint of another spirit. But for the most part, you know, just purity of spirit, without guile, genuine, sincere. That's how Paul started out. That's how you started out. That's how I started out. But sin found its way and worked in our hearts. And when we find Paul here, right before this road to Damascus experience, the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 3, he was making havoc of the church. The word havoc is the word that you'd use for a wild boar that is just thrashing the daylights out of a bush or thrashing the daylights out of a carcass. It's just thrashing it and thrashing it. And Paul said, the Bible said concerning Paul, he was just thrashing the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committing them to prison. And then, when we see Jesus coming to him, this is beautiful here, and I want to make sure I bring this out. He said, Jesus calls out to Paul, and he says, when Jesus reveals himself to Paul, and Paul falls from the horse or falls from the donkey, he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And this is an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul is not sure in what's going on, and he says, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. Is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? And he, trembling and astonished, says, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord tells him what to do. What I want to show you here this morning is when you hurt the church, you're hurting Jesus. That's what Jesus said. And so when you ignore the church, you're ignoring Jesus. When you bless the church, you're blessing Jesus. When you come to the church, you're coming to where Jesus is. You know, he gave himself for the church. And he's desiring to raise up the church to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And see, Paul was thrashing the church. Making havoc of the church and hauling the men and women. And that's what happens when you allow sin in your life. When you allow Satan or a little bit of compromise to come into your Christianity. I feel sorry for non-Christians because they have no remedy. Honestly, folks, your unsaved loved ones and friends, you know, give them a whole lot of slack. Because they have a master that is rampaging and thrashing their spirits and their lives, and it's called Satan, who kills, steals, and destroys. And when sin is allowed in individuals' lives, and it just happens, you know, because the Bible says we're born in sin. We're born in sin. So that's why these little precious little darlings that we have growing up, we know that someday that they need to have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Because if they don't, they have no remedy for this thing called sin that they got born into. That's why it's so important that we here at Last Chance Chapel tell every man, woman, and child, can you say amen to that? Every man, woman, and child, that there's a Savior who can save you from your sin. I praise God for children. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Children can have a real experience with Christ. As non-Christians, though, there is no remedy for sin. It will violate you. It will destroy you. It will pollute you. It will distort you into an unrecognizable creature. These 3 days and nights when Paul's sitting in the dark, how would you have liked to have been him? You had pillaged, you had ravaged Jesus. And now you have 3 days and three nights to reflect on how you started off in life, but somehow, some way, sin came and got a hold of your heart and sucked you under, and so that you became enemies with God himself. But he's reflecting these 3 days and three nights, and he says, and all of a sudden, the Old Testament sacrifices all of a sudden have value and meaning that he's never seen before. All of a sudden, the scriptures, like, you know, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Passover lamb, all of a sudden it means value, has meaning. And all of a sudden, I've been washed, I've been cleansed by the blood of the lamb. I'm a new person, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I believe it's very important for us as Christians, those of us who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, those of us who accepted Christ and given our lives to Jesus Christ. I pray that God will give each one of us a holy, holy fear of sin. A fear of sin and its smell and getting tainted with sin. The Bible says, Paul said, even hate the garment tainted by sin. Why? Because it's more vile, it's more diseased than any sickness, any germs. You know, America is kind of nice because it's a very hygiene country. You know, I mean, now we have laws and rules, the government regulates, how food is prepared and how it's refrigerated. Can't you say amen to that? Aren't you glad? Because we've learned the hard way what contamination of food and uncleanliness, what that can do to the physical body. Well, it's the same in the spirit. And so when we allow sin to become part of our lives, it destroys, because it's deceptive and it creeps in. But praise God, there's a remedy for sin, and that's Jesus Christ. And even as a Christian, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're talking about makeovers this morning, the barn being made over, the house being made over, a person being made over. God does the great makeover. And it all starts, God all starts with repentance. I pray if you've never had an on-your-face knockout experience with Christ, that you do. Because that is what will change your life. It is an encounter with the living Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I'd never had that. Well, have it. Come to the altar. Give your life in complete dedication and sacrifice to him. And let God make your life over again. God took this man who was making havoc of the church and turned him to be one of the greatest missionaries there ever was. God took this man who was trying to destroy the church, and he used him to write half the New Testament. Wrote 14 epistles. Three times the amount that Moses had written. God took this man who raised up 9 churches and had 20 co-workers who demonstrated amazing acts of courage in the face of overwhelming opposition. And you have to understand, Paul is just human like you and me. He struggled with anger. He struggled with being afraid. He struggled with being discouraged. He struggled with people quitting on him and feeling, you know, betrayed. He struggled with his attitude. He struggled with despair for his life at times. But at the same time, because God was the one who was doing the makeover, God gave him compassion that he had never experienced before, compassion for the people of God. God removed his blindness. God gave him faith and boldness. Amen. God used everything in his past. Everything in his past. God used his birthplace, his education, his personality, even his weaknesses and failures as an instrument to plant the church in dark corners of the world. So will God use you. God will use the dark moods of your mind. God will use the scars on your life that you've had in the past. God will use the place that you've come to for his specific purpose. The Bible says in Romans 8, you know it well, all things work together for good. To those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose, those God foreknew, he also predestinated. In other words, he has planned for you to make it across the finish line in grown up in him. He's predestinated you to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that you might be the firstborn among many brethren. Those that he predestinated, he also called. That he called, that he also justified. Those he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to this? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? How do you have a makeover with God? How do you allow God to make you new again? Well, first of all, we see it here. He had a real encounter. He had a real encounter with Jesus. And then I think in those 3 days and 3 nights, somewhere in there, he committed. He committed. I think every Christian needs to have an encounter with Jesus. And then every Christian needs to come to that place in your Christianity where you make it real. And you say, I commit my life to Jesus. I've talked with you. Forgive me. I repeat myself all the time. Kenshinja. Kenshinja. It's the Japanese word for the individual who dedicates his life to Christ. Kenshinja. It's not a glorious or a glamorous description. It literally means a burnt offering. A burnt offering. Kenshinja is in the Bible school in Ikoma, Japan, when Gloria and I lived for years. They'd have to get up at 4:30 in the morning, be dressed, and outside at 5 o'clock doing calisthenics. And then from 5:30 to 6:30, they had to do an hour of prayer corporately in the church as loud as they could holler. I mean, and I mean, if you did not, you know, bellow out your prayer, you know, the principal would come by and slap you on the head, you know. I mean, even if you weren't praying, you better pretend you were praying, you know. And then we would always wake up, Gloria and I, you know, we would wake up about 6:30 because they'd be sweeping the driveway up to the house, the walkway up to the house. Kenshinja. A living sacrifice. And see, that's what God has called us to be. When I gave my heart to Jesus at 7, something happened in my spirit and heart when I was 14. And it wasn't at a church service, it wasn't at a youth camp, it was in my living room. I was laying on the couch, laying before the Lord on the couch. And I said, Lord, I dedicate my life to you. I give it all. I give it all. I commit my life to you. I want to be a Kanchinsha. I didn't know the word at that time. I want to give my life to you. You ever done that? If you haven't, he's waiting. Because that is when it's all in his hands. And actually, see, that's what Paul says later in the book of Romans. I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Would you stand up with me, please? When you're a Kanchinsha, when you're a dedicated, a committed Christian, you see everything in a brand new light. You see believers as brothers. You see church members as the body of Christ. You see yourself interconnected with them as the family of God. And you see yourself as a soldier. You see yourself in a race. You see yourself in a fight. And nobody wants to be a wimp in a fight. And nobody wants to be a loser. A Kanchinsha is someone who gives it all to Jesus. Father, Lord, we're going to sing this song here. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. And as we do, I pray, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the many disciples, dedicated individuals here this morning who've given their lives to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, I pray that everyone here will. Lord, that you will change the landscape of Helena, Montana through dedicated, committed disciples. I pray, Father, as we sing this song, Lord, it will be a heart confession to you. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Sing it with me. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. You know what? If you're serious about that, would you sing it with me? And as an expression to the Lord, would you just walk up to these altars, do this with me, and just kind of not to anybody else, just an expression to the Lord. Just walk up to these altars and say, Lord, here am I. I'm a Kanchinsha. I surrender all. As we sing it one more time, you know, those who are serious about this, join me here. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Lord, we do. We lift up our voice. We lifted up our voices, one heart, Lord, saying to You that we surrender all. Lord, we surrender, Lord, Your work, Your church. Lord, Your ministry in our lives, Your ministry in this town and in our families. We surrender it all to You. And we thank You, Lord God, that You're doing a makeover, Lord. A makeover in our lives, in our homes, Lord, in our city, in our country. Lord, we thank You for it, and we love You, and we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. And I don't know about you, but it really encourages me. Look at these quinceañeras right next to you. These dedicated, committed Christians. Isn't that beautiful? These are your brothers, sisters, amen. God bless you. Love you guys.